Yeah, these guys, which is funny, you get this in the Nazi race theory where half the white race, which happens to be Slavs, are considered subhumans.
Subhuman.
We are the dominant portion of the white race, if we're going to call it a white race. And these guys, well, these guys were English,
Yeah.
but these the ones that the Azov guys, especially the Slavic ones. I mean, you're still a Slav. At the end of the day, you're a Russian, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And Azov was created by whom?
Who?
Not Khodorkovsky, Kolomovsky.
Kalamovsky, that's right.
Kolomovsky is a who?
Is he what I
Going,
think he
going. Come on, come on. Yeah, you can say it.
is? Is he a Jew?
Yes, he is.
There you go.
He's sitting in jail right now because his protege and jester Zelensky put him in jail. But he's also a citizen, dual citizen of.
Israel?
And did Israel take away his citizenship for starting an all-out SS? Well, at that point it was a battalion. Now it's a corps.
No, of course
No,
not. They probably gave him a promotion.
he did. He was a rich. He was a rich Jewish guy. Dual citizenship, Israel. That's right. They, Mister, we are against the Nazis, who have no problem with people that started armed Nazis, flat out Nazis.
No, they're like the Judenrat. They support. They're part of the structure, you know.
Well, yeah, what did Merz say? Israel is doing our civilizational dirty work,
Yeah,
committing
well,
genocide.
yes,
So,
that's
what's
it.
changed in the West? Nothing's changed in the West.
Not much. Not much has changed.
So, you came back to the US. I know you used to be married, and I've seen photos of you with like that much hair,
Oh yeah, I used to have long hair. I used to have long hair. Yes, and a big beard.
Yes, you did have the big beard and the
I had
long
that
hair.
big beard.
You look like you belonged on Mount Athos.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Either Mount Athos or Tora Bora. So it depended on, where people wanted to place me. But yes, I came back, finished graduate school. I was a teacher, high school teacher, for a few years. I loved that. I was teaching history. And in 2020, before the right when the pandemic kicked off, I was invited to go to Lugansk. I was supposed to go to Lugansk for a big anti-fascist conference. It got canceled, but once things opened up again, I came to Russia. I did the World Youth Festival in 2024 in February in Sochi, February, March, and then went to Donbass in 2024 summer, reported on it for the UN, started to get really involved. And in 2025 in April, I came over to Russia, and I've been pretty much here ever since. I was elected in November 2024 as High Bailiff of Orange County, Vermont. So I'm
Tell me about that. And why Vermont? I mean, where did you
Well,
teach?
so I taught in, so I went to graduate school at Dartmouth College, which is on the border of Vermont and New Hampshire. So it's in Hanover, New Hampshire. And I met my ex-wife at the time there, and she had a farm in Vermont. So we ended up moving in and expanding the farm and doing all kinds of great work. And it was fantastic. Had two amazing kids together, and we're very close. I mean, the situation with me now is complex with the political situation in the US, because even as a journalist and even as someone who is reporting, there's a lot of repression for those who have provided humanitarian aid and support to the Donbass, for those who have traveled to the Middle East reporting on the truth in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Iran, in Iraq, and elsewhere. So, I think the US is not the safest place for me to travel to at this point. But in any case, I maintain a lot of links and ties with the US, family there, work there, and yeah, we just continue on with our work and efforts as we normally do.
You know John Veroli?
Yes, of course.
He's
Friend.
he had to leave the US because he used to be a he's a former journalist,
Yes.
and he had to leave because he supported Russia in all this, and the FBI didn't like that.
Nope.
But he didn't have that much of a voice, but they still came down on him.
Yeah.
Didn't they raid your? You were saying once they raided your ex-wife's house.
Yeah, they've been to some family members' houses. They've been to They first raided me in 2013, and when I was going to China, and afterwards it's been nonstop. Every time I crossed the border, I was detained. My electronics were seized. I went through some very humiliating moments in some of those detentions because nor they can keep you for up to 24 hours. So I've been kept near that kind of time, like a full day.
When so wait a minute, the first time they raided you was when you went to China.
Yeah.
What was this is 2013.
Yes.
What was the basis of raiding you for going to China? I mean, my God, every other American businessman was going to China.
Correct. So I had been granted a China government scholar for Sino-US cultural communication, and I was studying Marxist philosophy. So when I went to the airport, or before I went to the airport, the FBI did a raid on, and this was after the Boston Marathon bombing, to give you
Okay.
context. So the FBI, on intelligence that they have, who knows, they raided my grandfather's house, my parents, they went to my professors, my teachers, everybody. And they were looking for weapons. They were looking for
Well,
weapons
legal
and
weapons or illegal weapons?
illegal. They thought that I don't know, whatever kind of bomb making factory there. Who knows? They thought I was, doing intelligence for the Chinese. They literally would not. I had to go to FBI headquarters in Boston in person, and I had to discuss with them what I was going to do in China. And I said, "Guys, I'm going for graduate school. I'm going to study Marxist philosophy. There's nothing illegal about that. There's nothing illegal about
So,
that." And they
a
were.
teacher in Vermont living on a farm, and they're afraid of what?
They're afraid of everything, They're afraid of everything,
You're gonna lead the Vermont communist movement to topple a farmers and
There you go.
milkmaids to do what? Topple Washington?
Listen, I'm leading the Second Vermont Republic. So, for those who don't know, Vermont was a republic before it became the 14th state. So, that's it. We're going to do the Second Republic. We're breaking away.
Well, first we're going to get the Confederacy up and running.
Just
Then
listen, the
you
Confederate.
Yankees can do whatever the hell you want up there.
Exactly, guys, So it was crazy. It was crazy. I faced a lot of repression in that way and a lot of issues.
Huh.
And when I
This is
went,
2013. You can't say
yeah.
this is, God, this is even before Ukraine fully flipped, before they were able to flip Ukraine fully.
I know. I'm an old one for the list.
Wow.
I'm an oldie, but a goodie for them on the list. So 2013 came, 2014 in China. Also, I visited the DPRK. That was a big deal for them as
Ooh.
well.
Wait a minute, you're not supposed to that you're not supposed to do that, as far as I remember. That's against the law in the US.
It's now against the law. It wasn't back then.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't back then. So I could, and I did, and I had no, but when I came back to the US, oof, hours of questioning. I said, look, it's my right. I have every right to go there, In any case, the situation became so untenable, and it became untenable both under Democrats and Republicans. It wasn't like it was one party good, one party bad. This was the deeper structure of the US government, which is very much against Russia, against China, against Iran, against everybody. You know that. So there's no, there's, I think a lot of people have kind of, no, I wouldn't say myopic kind of vision, but they don't understand. They have a kind of idea that somehow it's just the top politicians, and then if we get rid of those or if we change them, everything's going to be pro-Russia, pro-China. No. It's much deeper than that. All these people are trained from school, and you are a product of American education. I am as well. From schooling, Russia bad, China bad, Iran bad, these Arabs bad, these Latin Americans, bunch of migrants and whoever, whatever. So all of this
Well,
stuff is.
yeah. New week, Stoss is another fight. Yeah. I remember my
Yeah.
childhood.
Yeah,
Well, maybe
yeah.
not every week, but every 2 or 3 weeks, I was definitely in a fight.
There you go. Oh, he's from that place, F them, the evil empire, a bunch of drunks and hookers and things like that. They had no idea about the history.
No.
You ask them about Catherine the Great, Peter the Great, all these people go back and talk about the time when, Alexander Nevsky was fighting all these groups that were coming there, saving Europe back and forth. They knew nothing. Nothing. Zero.
Yep.
Zero.
Better dead than red. Heard that more than
So,
once in
oh,
my childhood.
of course. I heard the sand N-word for me all the time. I heard everything. I was a towel head, Haji. I heard it all.
Yeah, you know, it's funny too. My mother was teaching Russian in the Charlotte Community College. And I mean, this is mid-80s. And she comes back, like one of the first times she was teaching. So this old woman walks up to her after class. It's like, "Are you Russian?" She's like, "Yeah." "You can't be." I'm like, "Why? You're not red." I mean, that's the level of understanding. Your skin's white. Yeah, we're white Russians. Don't tell them that it used to be a side that was called Black Russians, the anarchists, the Green Russians, the different agrarian groups. Yeah, they'd go,
They have no
like
clue
really
what to do.
blast their mind.
They lost their
So,
minds. They lost their
but
minds.
that's a level people understood things. Oh,
Of
red
course.
Russians means you're literally a red person.
Yeah.
Red skin. You probably have beady red eyes. Little fangs hanging out there, little horns.
Yeah, that's what they really, I mean, this caricature was there. So, after a period of time, I'll tell you, working in the US as a teacher, a lot of people are angry with my Russophilia, or saying that Russia was a great civilization, a great European country, one of the strongest, saved Europe multiple times, not just once. So, but I got a lot of pushback. I got a lot of pushback, even for talking about the Great Patriotic War and the Soviet contribution, pushback.
Listen, I had a friend, one of my fraternity brothers, actually. He was a history major. And when I said to him, the majority of the Nazis, I'm not going to say Germans, I said Nazis, because most of Europe was Nazi, in that European, new European order, aka EU 1.0, died on the Eastern Front. And he just starts laughing. "No, we did, we killed most of them." Like, no. But this is what he was being taught at NC State in the history department.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
Oh yeah, I mean, this isn't
Is it
even
tragic?
some village high school. This is forget at the university, and they're taught
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, of course. I got asked why in a video I called Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, Your Excellency. And I had to explain to my colleagues who were educated in fine institutions in the US that Your Excellency is diplomatic language for a foreign minister. Like when you refer to a foreign minister, you call him Your Excellency, just like you call someone Your Eminence or the Honorable for a judge. Yes.
Or the honorable for an Israeli-owned senator or congressman. I don't know how much honor is in there, but definitely.
There you go. So that's a little bit. So that's a little bit my background. And now I'm here. I'm here in Russia. Set up shop here, and everything is good. Doing journalism. Doing a lot of our great activities, doing academic and research work, and loving it, love hanging out with you as
Did
much as
you get?
possible.
Oh yeah, we had a couple good beers, and we'll have some more. Did you get political refugee status?
Here?
Yeah.
No. No,
It's
it's
just
not necessary in my situation.
okay. Good,
No.
because I know plenty of people from the U.S. and other countries. You know Chris Hems?
Yes, of course.
You know his story? I actually did an interview with him on that. The U.S. The FBI wants him because
Correct.
he was doing a speech on cryptocurrency as a Brit, as a friggin' Brit, right? It has no laws against Brits going to North Korea. And the other guy right before him was doing a speech was an American who wasn't allowed to be there, but he self-identified in South Korea to the American embassy, dumbass. And they're like, "Oh, co-conspirator." And the British government was just going to hand him over. So he's broken no laws of England.
Yeah.
Right, he's broken no laws, U.S. laws on U.S. territory, but they're extraditionary laws. They want him. So the FBI was demanding he turn himself over.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah. I
insane.
mean, he's a good friend. He's a good
Yeah.
friend, and what he's been through has been hell, really.
Yeah. That tells you. I mean, just the level of insanity. And by the way, the British government are a bunch of lab dogs that won't even defend their own citizens.
Well, think about this. We have our beloved George Galloway.
Yes.
How many times? So over 30 years in Parliament,
Yep.
won multiple elections, multiple parties, and he right now is in self-imposed exile because of an active court case against his wife for crimes we don't even know about. There's been no charges, there's been nothing, but this is a political attack on the leader of an up-and-coming party that challenges the duopoly there, the Labour and the Tory duopoly, and provides an alternative, the Workers' Party of Britain, which is once no to NATO, no support for Ukraine, advocates for Palestinian rights, and you see where, and it advocates for peace with Russia, peace with China, but you see it's become a threat. It's become a threat because he's so big, his show so big, and it's become a threat. And now, he's also between here and China and Indonesia and Malaysia, and he's, with a suitcase always in hand. But you see, that's what that's. That's the, and he was a member of parliament, not once,
30
not
years a member of parliament. Was
one.
he head of labor in his own time?
No, not head of Labour, but he was a very prominent member of Labour Party.
Yeah. And that, no, I know he's a head of a registered party. That's so that yeah, that's and he was charged with you're trying to charge him with terrorism and sedition. And
It's
he was coming
crazy.
back from Russia when he got he wasn't arrested, he was restrained,
Yes.
which means no, you get no advocate, you get no rights because you're not arrested, you're restrained. Kind of love that.
And he was coming back. I had seen him. We were together. He was coming back from the World Youth Festival. The World Youth Festival in Nizhny Novgorod, we were at. And he was speaking. He was a keynote speaker to talk to the youth about peace, diplomacy, his life, his experiences.
Oh, God forbid peace breaks out. There's no money in that.
No, well, what we don't want peace for
But
the most part.
whether it's so-called left or so-called right, Tories or Labor, the problem you get in both is they're globalists. So there really is no difference between them.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, what difference? I mean, the same we say Democrats and Republicans, they all go to the same bars, they all go to the same country clubs, they all love this. They all go to the same trips to Israel.
Yeah, whenever Israel goes, and
Yeah.
250 members, half of Congress runs over for a group
Really?
photo under Israeli flags. You can't make this crap up.
Not only that, Netanyahu comes to the US, doesn't even meet with the president of the US, goes straight to Congress, delivers a speech, and leaves without saying hello to the president.
And how many ovations, standing ovations, did he get?
The whole time they were standing,
Like,
basically.
there's like 40 standing ovations. This is like something out of the Soviet Union back in the 1920s when the radicalism was there, and they'd clap on some of these meetings so they were ready to pass out because they were afraid of the personal stuff. This is the same level, but at least they're clapping. In the Soviet Union, they're clapping for their own people. This is a foreigner that's come in there, and you're, well, a foreign owner of the U.S. that's come in there.
You're right.
That's
It's crazy.
insane.
Crazy.
The Republican. The Republican primaries, where every second flag is an Israeli flag.
Oof. Crazy.
And the MAGA people, the real MAGA people, not the groupies that are left in MAGA, the people that voted for end of wars, take care of our own issues, the localists, the nationalists, whatever, the patriots, whatever you want to call them, that came in there and went, "What the hell?
No,
wait a
what is this?
minute."
What is this? We didn't
Yeah.
vote for this.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
I agree with you. I agree with you. 100%.
That's the reality. Oh,
Yeah.
so I guess with Massey being gone and Marjorie Taylor Greene being gone, who's left as prominent Republicans? Rand
And
Paul.
Paul.
Can you think of anybody else?
As a prominent like vocal critic.
Yeah. Or just not on the Israeli payroll.
No, everybody else is give or take close and proximate to the Israeli payroll.
So would it be too far from the truth to say that the Republican Party should be labeled as a foreign agent organization?
Both the Republicans and Democrats should have that
Well,
label.
the Democrats are 80%. The Republicans are about not 100% now. I mean, the Democrats
So
got a little bit of ways to go.
they've
I
got a
mean,
ways to
they're
go, but
getting
still,
there.
it's just it's sad. It's
They're
sad. It's
part
sad to
two.
see.
Part one's complete. Now we refocus on part two.
But you got to imagine that they are against the national interests of their own people. Like they are literally serving a foreign, a hostile actor that is bringing our country into ruin. If you think about it.
Just for the non-American audience, because probably about half my audience is actually Americans, but for the non-American audience, remind me again about the American free health options.
Crickets.
But Israel has free health.
For
Free to pay
sure.
by?
It's the U.S.
Yeah,
taxpayer.
baby. Remind me about the free universities in America.
Don't have.
Israel has free universities paid by.
American taxpayers.
Well, not only the Europeans pay their share, small share there
Well, for
too.
sure. For sure. Everybody's got to contribute. Everybody's got to contribute.
Speaking of contributing, I know we've been on for a while, so let's finish up with the last topic of the prominent topic. The Israeli, I mean Israelis, I'm sorry, the other psychopathic Nazis, the Ukrainians struck. I'm ad hocing this, cause, but it flows so well because yeah,
It's
the truth is
beautiful.
the truth. The Ukrainians in I'm from Lugansk, so this is not Lugansk city itself, but this is in the Lugansk province. They struck a dorm for a local teaching university. Four drones. So they had recon drones, and then they brought in four drones. The majority of people in this, so these are freshmen. The majority of people there were 17, 16, 17. So these are children. 40 wounded, four, at least 40 wounded, four dead, at least. They're still unraveling the rubble. Five-story building, the top three stories collapse onto the second story. And what can you say to that? What can you say to
You know,
those that sponsor that?
first and foremost, I send my condolences and sympathies, you know, to the families and the friends and the community members who lost loved ones and memory eternal, to those who were killed, those who were martyred, really. Because listen, at the end of the day, the Ukrainians cannot do these kinds of actions without support from their Western sponsors. Ukraine
Absolutely.
exists now as a Trojan horse of the West.
Yep.
And the sad part is that, many don't want to see the truth, which is that the United States continues to arm and support, with intelligence, with military technical details, the Ukrainian forces, as do the Europeans, as do other countries, including
Yep.
Israel. They all provide weapons, they provide technicians, they provide experts. There are attaches in Ukraine. There are boots on the ground for some of the countries in Europe, in Ukraine. And a lot of the weapon systems that are used by Ukraine are operated in whole or in part by Western operators. So, for me, I want to say that the United States, Europeans, and their allies bear responsibility for the blood of this innocent life and all the innocent life since 2014, in the Donbass and elsewhere.
You know, one of the things that the UN does is it lists, some like 14,000 killed civilians in this contract, in this conflict as Ukrainians. They don't separate whether they're in Russian territories or where they're in Kiev's territories. They just lump them together as Ukrainians to make it look like, it's Russia's fault. They don't disingenuously, they don't separate out who's on which side of the border. Who's being killed by whom, in other words?
Of course. And they try to conceal the fact that the Ukrainian regime has, from the very beginning, used terrorism as an act, as a constant act of violence and aggression towards the people in the Donbass who wanted to have their culture, their values, their traditions, their language, their religion in peace. And the people in Crimea, the people in Kursk then, the people in Belgorod, the people all over, and the people far away who've been targeted by missiles and drones,
Yep.
not only in Voronezh and Moscow, but also further afield,
Yeah, like two Polish farmers.
Yes. So I think that, at this point, Trump came into office saying no new wars, no endless wars, no regime change wars. We're going to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. And we are now in year two of his administration. We're at the midterms, basically. And we not only do not have a solution, we have an entrenchment of the conflict. And if what I fear comes true, I think we're going to see an escalation if the Democrats come to power either in the midterms, but especially in the next general election.
Oh, I think we're going to have an escalation well before that. I don't think the US is going to fight in Europe, the big war in Europe. It has no
No,
business
no.
fight. It's going to make
No,
money
literally.
out of it.
Yeah, of course. They're going to send the others to go fight.
Right. I tell people, look, the US has 5,000 M1 and M1A1 tanks parked. And now they're upgrading the M1s to M1A1s. US has about 6,000 Bradleys parked, old Bradleys. Why would you keep that unless you're planning to sell it to somebody? I mean, that's 12 armored divisions.
A lot of equipment.
It's a lot of equipment. I mean, what was it? The Hawkeye, I think, is the name of the missile system, anti-aircraft missile system that went out back in '92, and there's hundreds of those that are still kept in working condition. Again, it's a pretty old system. It came in like in the late '60s, early '70s, but again, it's still there. They're not cutting it up for scrap metal.
Nope.
Why would you
No
keep it
repurposing
unless you have
those things.
plans? Right,
They have
unless
plans.
you've got 12 armor divisions. Who are you going to sell it to unless you have a big war?
Not only that, we have the what is it, the aircraft graveyard, that what they call the Bone Graveyard in
Yeah.
the southwest of the US. They're taking planes from there and starting to refurbish them to get them back
Oh,
into service.
really? I missed that one. That's
During the
interesting.
Iran War, they started to say that we're going to take some planes. Some planes that were targeted and other planes that they don't have enough of, they're gonna take them from the graveyard there and start bringing them back into service.
I mean, I think the U.S. Back when you were still in high school, I was the first time I read an article toward we need another good war, World War II, good war, to get the U.S. economy back up and running, was in 1998. I think it was Forbes. I'm pretty sure it was Forbes. I may be wrong, but that was 1998. So if it's coming out in any kind of media, even on that level, that the elites have already been talking about it for a while.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Big European war. They flat out said we need another big European war, where we can then do a new Marshall Plan. We can write off our debts and become creditors, and rebuild our economy by rebuilding what's left of Europe.
When you look at that and you think about how much money, I mean, we have as a budget proposal $1.5 trillion. We were shocked when it went to a trillion. Now we're nearly 1.5. We're going up to 1.5, and then what's next? Two,
But
three?
it's much bigger than that.
Oh,
I
of
mean,
course it is,
let's
because
look at
that's
Rusia.
only the Pentagon.
Right.
Imagine, and what we know, because there's a lot of black budget too.
But
There's a lot
wait
of
a
secret
second. That's
budget.
not even only the Pentagon, because you have Veteran Affairs. That's at half a what half a trillion almost. That's normally in any other nation that would be under the Ministry of Defense, Veteran Affairs. But that in the U.S. is separate. And then when you go down line items, like for example, half the NASA budget is military
Yeah, for
satellites.
sure. For
So
sure.
there was an organization, an NGO, God, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, they went line item by line item, and they came out with about 25, 26% of GDP, well, of the U.S. government budget is military. It's just majority of it is hidden in different line items and under different departments. That was the time, if you remember, there was a big scandal that 200 Hollywood movies were fully funded by the military,
Yeah, of course.
including all the Avengers and all that. Their funding came from the military.
And also the support for movies like Top Gun Maverick, where the military was full in on it. And you saw that the even the narrative and the arc in the movie is exactly similar to what happened in Iran. Like they're putting it out there. They're not hiding anything.
So much for the invisible hand of the market, or
Oh, what an invisible hand.
some other crappy, I mean, some other silly crap like that for foreigners. Sure, trust the market. They
Yeah.
bought it.
Well, of course they did. We have an orange hand instead, not an invisible hand.
Absolutely. Chris, I know I've held you on for quite a while. I want to thank you. Looking forward to seeing you. Well, next week we'll see each other at the different conferences. So
Absolutely.
That'll be
I'm looking
fun.
forward to it.
Yep, me too. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. And
Thank you for having me.
we'll have to, well, we've got a cold spell coming up, but after that cold spell, I have to get back to the Barbie.
For sure. For sure,
Well,
indeed. Thank you again, bro.
and not a blow-up Barbie, the barbecue.
Yes, the barbecue, of course. Come on.
Gotta spell it out for some people. Just, oh, that guy got a Barbie. Oh, there's some weird people over there. Everybody, thank you. Thank you. And we laugh because the alternative is crying.
Yes, of course. Take care, everyone.
Cheers. Oh,
Cheers.
before we go, Chris, where can they find you? The
So
people.
you can find me. I have at Chris Halali on X, Instagram, TikTok, also on YouTube. I have the Christopher Halali Show and also DD Geopolitics, of which I'm a journalist. So follow DD Geopolitics on everywhere, and definitely we'll keep the conversation going. And I'm sure we'll be back on each other's shows very soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody, cheers. Thank you for joining.